You're listening to Elevated on Radio Pulpit with me, Jenna Lee Belong. Thank you so much for staying with me to meet the coach, our guest for the day, Pastor Nonhlanhla Dlamini, joining me on the line right now. She is a dynamic and passionate leader who's dedicated not only to spiritual transformation through her pastoral calling, but also very genuine in her pursuit for personal development. Additionally, she's also a life coach, a youth coach, relationship coach, an NLP practitioner, a conference speaker, and visionary founder of the House of Transformation. She's married to her wonderful husband, Pumuza, and together they are blessed with two boys, Okuhle and Esihle as well. And I know her as an author of children's books. We're going to talk about that in a moment. She wrote The Treasure Hunt. As you behold the mirror, you discover the treasure, and also a booklet called Champions, Daily Devotional and Prayer Book that is laying on my desk as we speak. Pastor, good day, and thank you so much for joining us on Elevated.
Thank you so much, Jenna, for having me. Good afternoon to your listeners. I'm so excited and I really honor this program and honor you for having me here today.
You're absolutely welcome, Pastor. Let me start by just giving our listeners a bit of background how I bumped into your ministry divinely. I was speaking at an event, a women's event in Eswatini in Swaziland. And one of the stalls that was there was some lady sitting with these beautifully illustrated children's devotional prayer book. And the illustration on the cover of that book just drew me to it. I bought the books and I said, I need to meet this pastor, Nonhlanhla Dlamini. So today, finally, it's happening. And I really want to thank you once again for honoring the invitation. Before we get into some of your work, maybe take us back to who exactly Nonhlanhla Dlamini is.
Okay, just an introduction to who I am. I'm really just a girl who loves God, who at some point in her life discovered that even when everything in life looks like it's lost, the plan and the purpose of God for your life is never lost. The Bible actually says that his plan is not thwarted. So that's in short, I would introduce myself as that, but I come from Eswatini. I was born and bred in Eswatini and I moved to South Africa in 2013. I am a pastor working under the leadership of Apostle Peggy Tswala and Pastor Zandi Tswala in a ministry called Sword and Spirit Ministries. I'm a mother, I'm a wife, like you've introduced me, and I'm very passionate about development of people and also the development of children, which is how I came to even, authoring, being an author of children's book because of the passion that I have for children's development.
Take us back to Eswatini, growing up in Eswatini. What was it like? What were some of the things that you observed in your time growing up in Eswatini that is still until today informing the way that you do ministry, the way that you approach life and your purpose?
So the thing about Eswatini, and how we really just, and our understanding of the worship of God is also influenced largely by that it's a kingdom. In a kingdom, there's a king, and the word of the king is law. And now translating into Christianity or the walk with the Father, our God, it becomes very easy because it's the same concept. The concept of kingdom in the natural and the concept of the kingdom of God is similar in that there's a king and the king has his children and his desire. I'm talking about the king, our Father God. His desire is to see his children ruling and reigning on the earth and really extending his rulership, God's rulership on the earth. So we come from that, and Swazis are really just peaceful people, humble people. It was really beautiful growing up in the kingdom of Eswatini. There was nothing much that was disturbing in terms of maybe, in South Africa, you then come and you're introduced to things like apartheid and things like that. But in Swaziland, there was nothing like that. We just grew up and we grew up to know the king, first our king, Swati, and then the king of glory, our Father God. And growing up in an environment like that, it then becomes very easy to grow and be nurtured in your relationship with God. And I was very, very blessed to be brought up in a ministry, because I was brought up by my grandmother. My parents separated when I was around 8 or 9 years old, and then I then moved in with my grandmother, who was a staunch Christian, who just every part of her life was just about God. And we grew up in the Assemblies of God. And when I chose a church for myself, I was really, really, really blessed, because I chose a ministry where the leaders, which is the leaders that I mentioned earlier on, Apostle Beyithwala and Pastor Zandikhala, they are people that have never told us how powerful they are, but they've always told us how powerful we are. So we are brought up in a ministry, in a house, where we are constantly being told of the greatness that is within us. And that is how what is within me gets to be written in a book. What is it within me gets to be lived out in community through teachings, through giving, through empowering other people, because I was brought up in a house where we were told that there's greatness in the inside of you. You're called for bigger than what you see and what you've experienced.
I find it fascinating, so much of what you're saying, Pastor Nonhlanhla, but I want to ask you about what you mentioned about growing up in a kingdom and how that influenced the way that you see God as the king. Very fascinating, because you have the natural frame of reference of what it means to be submitted to a king, of what it means to be under the rulership of the king, but also now in the kingdom of God, what it means to extend that rulership. If you were to share with our listeners three things, or two or three things that you think we are getting wrong when it comes to interpreting our role in the kingdom of God and his role in the kingdom of God, what would those two or three things be? What do you think we're getting wrong, or what do you think we can improve on?
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for that question. So, like I said, that in a kingdom, let me make an example. There was a time when our electricity company, the company that provides supplies electricity in Swaziland, which is the EEC, Eswatini Electricity Company, there was a time when they increased tariffs. And the Swazis, we were complaining because now the tariffs were high. And the king just went on the radio and made an announcement and said, you know what, as EEC, you have to reduce the electricity tariffs. And that was it. So in a kingdom, it's not a democracy. Once the king speaks, there's no discussion that must be made around it. And one of the things that really was a shocker, I must say, from moving from Swaziland and moving here, was discovering that we think that the word of God is up for discussion. And the word of God is not up for discussion. What God understands is his word, is his rule. And there's no chopping and changing, or, you know, making it to fit what I'm currently going through. I must actually fit my life into the word of God. So the word of God is supreme authority. There's no if and but. So that's what I've seen, and that's I've seen how that has delayed us in really just laying hold of the inheritance that in the Bible, or in the book of Acts, sorry, in the book of Acts, the Bible says that I'm giving you to the word of his power. And it says that, and this word will build you up and give you an inheritance amongst the saints. So in the kingdom of God, there's an inheritance for us, but the delay in us actually getting that inheritance is based on us thinking that after we've heard the word, then I can just decide whether I'll do it or not. And then secondly, something else that I have seen, and these I experienced it personally. I said earlier on that my parents separated when I was around 8 or 9. And even though I was brought up in a church that was so nurturing and loving, and we were being told how great we are, somehow I just could not get the God relationship right. I wasn't living in sin. I wasn't, but it was again not beneficial to me. until the father made me understand that it's because you don't know me as a father. Your idea of who a father is really different from who I am. According to me, fathers leave, you know, because that's what my dad did. According to me, fathers are just about do this, don't do that, you know, and things like that. So I then had to, I think after about maybe 20, I mean, maybe 13 years of my walk with the father, I then had to take a step back and really just get to know him as a father, not just as a God who's enforcing law, but as a father first, who's loving, who's caring, who wants, who's protecting, who's nurturing, who's providing, who wants the best for me. As much as I talk about a kingdom being a place where the word of the king is law, but this king that we are serving, which is our God, loves us first. He's a father first.
Amen.
And that was a game changer for me. And I've seen how in society, a lot of families, fathers are absent. And in studying and in working with people, I've learned that there are times when the father is absent, as in he's not in the house. There are times and there are many instances where the father is in the house, but the father does not know their role in the family. And the role of a father is to give identity, which is the same thing that we get from God. We get our identity. So that deficit of fathers not being in homes or fathers being present but not knowing their role and just walking and just being in their families, you know, being present as sponsors, people who pay school fees and whatever, has really, really affected how we relate with God and how we then also share who he is to other people. So if I were to share two things that are very limiting, I'd say those are the things that are very limiting in our walk with the Father.
So thought-provoking, and I think that sounds like a book in itself, Pastor, that I would definitely love to read, especially the comparison between, kingdoms and what we can learn from how kingdoms function, how the kingdom of God should be functioning. So thought-provoking. Now, you ventured into coaching as well, and you do various disciplines of coaching. Do you think that your experience of abandonment that you just explained to us that happened to you when you were small, that some of those experiences is what drew you towards coaching? What would you say informed your decision or inspired your decision to become a coach?
You know, thank you so much. What you just mentioned is actually the answer. You asked the question and you answered. So so when because of growing up without a father, so what happened was my mom loved my dad very, very much. So when my dad left, I didn't just lose my dad, I also lost my mom. My mom just became a shadow of herself. And I ended up raising myself, and in me raising myself, there's no child that can raise themselves. I made so many mistakes, especially when I left Swaziland because I came to South Africa to study. When I came to South Africa, when I got to varsity, I made a lot of mistakes. And by the time I went back home in Eswatini, I was so condemned. I felt like I don't deserve anything. I remember praying to God and saying to him that, you know what, even if I become an auntie of the church, I want nothing from you. All I want is just to be in your house and just to serve. I don't want marriage. I don't want anything. I just want you. And the father just loved me through our pastors, my pastors that I mentioned earlier. And they loved me so much that after their love healed parts of me that were really, really, really broken and communicated that God has not given up on me, I then started mentoring people. You know, I felt like I have to pay this forward. I was very passionate. I was like, I have to pay this forward. The same thing that was done for me, I want to do for someone else. I want people who think God has given up on them to know that God has not given up on them. So I started mentoring people. I started mentoring women, men, a lot of people. That's what I was doing. I just poured myself into that. And then I saw life coaching and I thought, you know what, this will enrich my mentoring. And I went into life coaching. But when I went into life coaching, I found that it was something completely different, but even richer. Because now, through life coaching, you are able to guide someone to the treasure within. You know, you are digging that, you help the person to dig the gold. With mentoring, in mentoring, what happens is I use my experience to help you to get out of the place where you are to a better place. But with coaching, I guide you to the greatness that was within you. And as I did, because I started with life coaching, when I did it, my mind was just blown away. And I was like, this is something that is really needed in the body of Christ. So then I went into relationship coaching, I went into youth coaching, and I did NLP. And it has been so enriching. And I have been able to help even more people than I've helped before. So yes, it was influenced by what I went through, and also the people that God then raised to just pull me out and pull me up.
Still with me on the line, Pastor Nonhlanhla Dlamini, and I want to thank you for staying with myself and her as we just have this heartfelt conversation today. And Pastor, I want to thank you for opening up so honestly to our listeners. You spoke about what happened to your mother when she spoke. Split up with your father, saying she became just a shadow of who she was before, abandoning you as well. And then you had to end up raising yourself. I want you to just for a moment speak to somebody who might be going through trauma, whether it is a divorce or the death of a loved one, whatever trauma it might be, even losing a job, losing income, and they are struggling to pick themselves back up again. You've witnessed your mother go through it. You've seen the impact it's had on you. What would you say to such a person today?
I would say to such a person, I'd start by maybe sharing this, that I remember when I was at varsity, because like I said, my dad left, then I was left with my mom, but my mom was just a shadow of herself. And in me making all the mistakes that I made at varsity, I remember just the enemy saying to me, you know what, it doesn't matter anymore. And later on, I read the scripture about the man who was by the tombs of Magadara. The Bible says that he was there sitting by the tombs, and he was now hurting himself with the stones that were at that place where he was. And that's what the enemy does to us when we're at our lowest. He begins to whisper to us and say it doesn't matter anymore. In other words, for example, if I've started drinking, then the enemy will say, why not take some drugs? I mean, you've already had a drink, so might as well take some drugs. It will help you to numb the pain even more. So you find yourself getting deeper and deeper and deeper into stuff that you shouldn't do. And the more you get in, the more he condemns you. And the more you get in, the more he condemns you. And the more he condemns you, you feel like, I'm worth nothing. I don't even deserve God's grace. So I would say to that person, firstly, God is so faithful and God is so loving that He always has people for us. He always has people for us. And that's another lie that the enemy would like us to believe, that there's no one. There's always someone. So and that person is not a person that you have to go out of your way to go and look for. That person is right next to you. So I'd say to you, reach out to that person. I always say to people, I have a friend who I love very much, and she's one of the people that is a woman of wisdom. But there are times when I'm going through something and I reach out to her, and she doesn't have any words of wisdom except, I'm so sorry, my friend. And sometimes we are looking for people who are going to share big things. Sometimes you just need an ear. Sometimes you just need someone who will say, I'm here, I'll walk with you, I'll pray with you. So I just want to say to you, if you are going through something, reach out to someone. Don't be quiet. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy when he says to you, there's no one. There is someone just around the corner. They're already there. They've been saying, I'm here. Don't again listen to the lie of the enemy, because he likes saying people will get tired of you. There's nothing like that. The people that God has raised for you, they never get tired.
Absolutely, absolutely. Reach out and ask for help. Pastor, I want to get into your books now as well. You are reaching out to our children. through these books of yours. As I said, in case you missed it earlier, listeners, I saw two of her books at an event where I was speaking in Eswatini a couple of weeks ago, and especially the illustrations on Champions, the daily devotional and prayer book for kids, Pastor. It just jumped out at me. Talk to me about the journey of writing these children's books. I think it's important because you don't find a lot of Christian books written for children by Africans for Africans.
Yes, that's true. So I run camps for children. We have a winter camp and we have a summer camp. And in these camps that we run, we have children from different denominations and also children from homes where they love God and they want their children to know God, but they haven't found, for whatever reason, a home church. And as these children were coming to our camp, so our camps are not the camps where kids come to have fun. No, it's camps where kids come to be taught about God. So we do different things. We pray with them. We worship. We teach them how to pray, how to worship. We take them into encounters with God. We soak with them. You know, we teach them on other things. So as these kids were coming, they would have amazing encounters, amazing, truly amazing encounters where children are being encountered by the Holy Spirit, especially in our worship sessions. And I would also feel like I would always, after the camp, I'd tell my husband and I'd say, you know, I don't know how to help these kids, especially the ones who are not churched. I don't know how to help them to actually steward the encounter that they had at camp. And the Holy Spirit then said, you know what, just write a devotional, something that they can take home and continue to interact with the Father, to interact with the Holy Spirit. So the Champions Daily Devotional and Prayer Book, that's how it came about. And if you can look at the book, I'm happy that you have it with you right there. It's small so that it's not overwhelming to the child. They can just pick it up and go through it. If you look, there are daily declarations, there are prayers. You know, as a child, I'm in the prophetic. As a child, I used to have nightmares. And so if you look at the book, there's a prayer that they pray when they go to sleep. There's a prayer that they pray when they wake up. And just from those prayers, I remember we had a testimony from one of the parents. She sent us a testimony and said, we were now sleeping with our child because he would have nightmares. But when he got the daily devotional, prayed the prayer, the one for the bedtime prayer, the nightmare stopped. So it's just a book that is helping children, one, to learn the word of God at their own pace without being overwhelmed by the big book. And then we have the prayers. They are also being taught through the devotional on how to pray the word of God, you know, not pray unbelief, not, you know, sometimes we say we are praying and we're really just venting our unbelief to God. So through this book, we're teaching our kids how to pray the word of God. And the book is in NKJV because I wanted the closest to the original text, meaning of the Bible. And also I wanted them to read and then begin to say to mommy, what is conqueror? You know, so that it can be interactive with the parents. And then maybe just to go into the treasure hunt, I love that storybook. You know, we have a lot of storybooks that we read to our children. And these storybooks are talking about Cinderella and whatever. So I wrote the storybook. I took stories from the Bible and I told them in a story format. And so you get to read this book to your child. They're reading about David. My favorite, honestly, in the story, in the treasure hunt, is the story of the daughters of Zelophehad, because through them we are teaching the children. You know how almost all the parents are complaining about AMA 2000, how the AMA 2000 will be asking you questions that are uncomfortable. You know, they don't. So in the treasure hunt, we teach lessons. We teach them lessons. For example, the story of the daughters of Zelophehad. We are teaching them how to respectfully bring up things that they're not comfortable with. I don't know if you know the story in the book of Numbers, the daughters of Zelophehad. There was an inheritance, and they were not going to get an inheritance, but they respectfully went to the elders to say, listen, our dad was not part of the people that sinned against God, and he doesn't have a son. So what is going to happen? And the Bible says they were given an inheritance. Actually, the law was changed. So then after they've read the story of the daughters of Zelophehad, then at the back, there's a workbook where they answer questions, and they are taught this is how you respectfully address certain things. So, and the treasure hunt, if you look, it says you look in the mirror. The Bible talks about how the word of God is a mirror, and as we behold, we attend into the very image. So as they are reading these books, they are actually being introduced to themselves. So that's why it's a treasure hunt. As you look in the mirror, you behold who you really are. I really, really, really love these books. I really love them. And you know, just maybe I hope I'm not going over, but just to share a testimony about it, because it's not what I always say to people, I'm not selling books, I'm selling myself. This is my life, this is my anointing, sending out to children and mostly to homes, because I'm really convinced that when this book is in a home, it begins to judge certain things in the home, not only in the children's life. So I went to Eastern Cape about 2 weeks ago for a funeral, and I left my husband with the boys. And my second born, when I come back, I had gone for 2 nights, 3 days. When I come back, he says to me, Mommy, on the first night of your trip, I had a nightmare. And then, but on the second night, I actually had the best sleep. And he says, because on the second night, I was like, oh, I had a nightmare. I grabbed my prayer devotional and I prayed the prayer. And for me, that was really, really, really big to say, you know, the Holy Spirit started saying to me, in this day and in this age, we need spiritually inclined children. Our children need to know what to do. Even when you as a parent are not there, they need to know, they need to be led from within. So for me, for him to say, I knew what to do, you know how the Bible says he himself, Jesus, knew what to do when he had to feed the 5,000. That was big. I was so happy. I was like, this is what we want. This is why I wrote this book, because there's so much that is happening. You know, when you are telling your children, don't smoke cigarettes, there's now Publi. When you're like, don't smoke, Publi, there's now what? There's just a
Vaping.
lot that is coming on. So we need our children to just be led from within, to know within themselves, this I can do, this I'm not going to do. If Pastor Jenna says I must follow her, she's a pastor, but the Holy Spirit is saying I must not follow, so I'm not following her. That's what we need. So that this is what these books are about, just empowering our children and helping them to a relationship with God.
I love it. And I love your passion as well. I'm really urging our listeners, go. I'm going to give you the details now. Go and just have a look at it. The treasure hunt that she was talking about, every story, some of them, they have more than four, three, four, five lessons from that one story. So it's a practical workbook that you can use, the devotional, a practical workbook for you and your children. But keep in mind that, as she said, she's also the founder of House of Transformation Community. It's a family development center under her leadership, and its main focus is hosting life-transforming programs that speak to the wholeness of families. So, as you can hear that passion coming through, they offer parenting seminars, winter and summer camps for girls and boys. You heard her alluding to that now, youth mentorship, adult mentorship, life coaching, youth coaching, relationship coaching, counseling, and retreats as well. And they have seen great, great results from the work that they do. Pastor, that's all we have time for today, but I want you to just share your contact details or where people could get more information. How do we get the books? How do people get involved?
Okay, thank you so much. On Facebook, I am Nonhlanhla Dlamini. We do have a website. It's www.houseoftransformation.org.za. That's mostly where you get all our information. Otherwise, you can contact me on 071-723-2794 to order your book. and we do Korea, all over South Africa. We also have someone selling the books in Swaziland, like Pastor Jenna has said, that she picked it up in Swaziland. So you can go to our website, www.houseoftransformation.org.za or 071-723-2794. Thank you so much for having me over. I really, really appreciate you, and I honor you, woman of God.
Thank you. I can't wait to see what the Lord continues to do through you. Thank you so much for your time. That number again is 071-723-2794. And that website is houseoftransformation.org.za. Pastor, thank you so much and God bless the incredible work that you do.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to your listeners. Thank you for sitting in as you listen to me and Pastor Jenna just talk about our lives.
Thank you so much.